one of my best lines in sales is, people don't buy because they understand, they buy because they feel understood. And it's the same way for your employees. You have to make them feel understood, make them feel special. And those are some of the small things when I look at a business. Trust, loyalty, longevity. Those are the three most important things that I look for. People don't quit companies, they quit leadership.
Great experiences build great leaders. Great leaders build great teams. This is Building Great Sales Teams.
All right, guys. Well, first off, I have to apologize. We have not been putting out two episodes a week, but I'm going to make up for it today with our next guest. He's going to bring the value of two episodes. If you've seen his resume, it's pretty insane what this guy has done and what he has built and what he is doing now. So I'm very excited. He's the owner of Knockstar University. At 18 years old, he was the number one sales rep in the entire United States for Verizon and Comcast out of 3,200 reps. He's done it in roofing. He's done it in security. He's done it in solar. Matter of fact, he sold 114 roofs in 11 days, 74 solar accounts in 30 days, and 45 alarms in 6 days. Pretty staggering numbers. Taylor, welcome to the show, brother.
Happy to be here, brother. Happy to be here.
Awesome, man. Well, let's get right into it. One of the things I asked you before we hopped on was what you got going on now, because I just went through the resume. It's pretty insane. So I'm excited to have you on the show to talk about sales in general. But you said that you've got something pretty exciting going on right now. You might be going to China soon, or you are going to China soon.
Yeah, so I got to go to China last year. It was a really cool experience. My mentor, Tom Hopkins, was the one that brought me there, and I got to speak in front of 25,000 individuals. And it was a really cool experience, man. Like I tell everybody, it was all great until the very end. When the girls came to take pictures with me and they had filters on their phone and I had like, you know, makeup and everything on my face. I was like, I'm looking like a woman here. But, you know, it's really like kind of like I look at it like these success defining moments. You know, I like to say starting from the bottom is not a deficit. That was the gift. I watched my parents struggle, get down to the last $20. And I got into door to door selling when I was 18 years old. And to think that, you know, I would be going to China to speak in front of 25,000 individuals coming from a small town, a kid that got down to his last $20. It was just one of those success defining moments, you know, to be able to have a bigger impact than just door to door sales. But to try to make as much of an impact is really the reason that I do what I do.
And I'm a big believer that door to door is often the incubator for the future greats in growth and development in business, in entrepreneurship, you know, and so that's obviously coming to fruition here. One of the things that we touched on a little bit, and I was like, hey, let's jump on the podcast and do this because what you're about to go through is pretty huge. So one of the things that you said Tom teaches is the how-tos of sales training versus what a lot of sales trainers out there are teaching right now, which is just a lot of fluff. Can you walk us through the differences in those two things?
Yeah, you know, I think we talk about the fundamentals a lot, and the common denominator word with any professional is the word that they are practicing professionals, okay? But the salesman, out of all the other professions, if you count the doctors, the lawyers, the dentists, the athletes, the sales professionals out-earn all the other people combined. But the sales professional is lacking one thing those other professionals do. And that's the willingness to pay the price with dedicated sacrifice, with effort, with time investment. How-to sales training to me is breaking it down to the ridiculous. Tom Hopkins was trained by an individual named J. Douglas Edwards. J. Douglas Edwards was known as the father of modern day selling. He taught a lot of these how-to sales trainings. And a lot of it comes down to the fundamentals. you know, the reason there's so many peons, the reason there's so much mediocrity in the game of sales, notice how I call this a game because it's a game. I don't even work. I just play a game, is because people only know one or two ways to close a sale. They don't know the three different types of tie downs. They don't know the difference with an open and close question. They don't understand what an alternative choice question is. They don't understand the secondary question close, the triplicate of choice close. And if you only have one or two ways to close, and the average buyer takes five times, they've got more reasons to tell me no than I have reasons to tell them yes. So when we talk about how-to sales training, it's everything that revolves around your technique, your attitude, and your behavior. A lot of sales professionals, they don't even know how to define sales. You know, they use nasty words in their presentation. Like I hear sales trainers or say like, to be honest, get that word out of your vocabulary. I hear them use the word pitch, get that word out of your vocabulary. These are nasty words that create fear, false evidence appearing real, which the greatest enemy is the client's fear. Our goal is to take their anxiety here, bring it down here, and their certainty up here in creating the decision, which is otherwise known as closing. So it's like, dude, I have a whole bag. It's all a reflex now because I've took the time to learn the five steps of the learning process, being aware and alert, repeating myself. You have to hear, read, write, and say something six times to gain 62% of the retention. Then I have to utilize. Through utilization, I internalize, and through internalization, I make it a natural part of me, and then I reinforce it. So it's like, I don't have to think when I talk because I'm always looking for new ways to be innovative and creative and get better as a sales professional.
Man, so much packed into like 3 minutes.
Sorry, dude. I go on rants like that, but I got a whole bag. I promise you. You're going to give me a lot of value on today's cast.
Yeah, I love it so much. The one thing that I would love for you to highlight is nasty words, you know, and I love the way you're teaching already because I think there's a difference between somebody that's really good at sales and a teacher, right? The person that's really good at sales often gets thrusted into a teaching role, you know what I mean? Which isn't when it comes to building sales teams is what the show is about, is a misclassification of their strength, you know? And you, my friend, are a teacher right away and I can hear it throughout. So can you break down those nasty words real quick? Like, I think one of them was to be honest.
Yeah, I hate when people say to be honest because it creates fear. You should replace that with to be blunt. Okay. Nobody wants a monthly payment. A payment's a bad thing. You should change the word payment to amount, a monthly amount. People hate being pitched. We do not pitch anything. We present. Another really good one is when somebody says, I don't sell anybody anything. I've never sold anybody anything. I don't sell people things. I help get them involved or I help them acquire. People don't want to buy something. They want to own it. So by eliminating these nasty words, you're able to eliminate fear. And the opposite of a nasty word is a glamour word. A glamour word is a commonly known word that's uncommonly used to build excitement during the presentation. I don't know if you know Judy, she was a little dramatic, but what she told me was the utility company was just seizing money out of her bank account and she had no other option but to retreat. You see, seize and retreat are the glamour words that I can use to build excitement during the presentation. So all these nasty words that create fear on behalf of the buyer, our job is to help them relax. Our job is to be the assistant buyer. And I think one of the most important things that I could teach you guys on today's podcast is what is sales broken down to the ridiculous? I think I created a formula. You're not going to find this in any book on what sales is broken down to the ridiculous. So sales to me is the art of blending two complete opposites. The art of blending a complete opposite of communication and persuasion. Communication is not what I say, how I say it. It's how I can make them feel. And persuasion, which people think is a bad thing, is asking the right questions to solve these families' problems. There's only one objection that we face as sales professionals, and that's trust. But if I earn 100% of their trust and they like me, that doesn't mean they're going to do business with me. I have to earn their trust, but I also have to earn their respect, how they perceive me as the professional. I need to be aggressive, but I need to be kind. I need to be assertive. I need to be nice. I need to be egotistically humble. And you see, when you can learn to weave these opposites, that's how you can create the decision, otherwise known as closing, a symphony of words that culminates in a win-win final decision. So for me, the more that I learned, the more that I realized I needed to learn, because the whole goal is to help you guys think differently. I'm not a salesman. I'm a servant. We should have never been called salesman at the beginning. We shouldn't have. 96% of people don't like salesperson. I'm not a salesperson. I'm in the service business to serve, educate, and give you a convenience. So it's like a salesman is first off a man that can sell himself to himself. They have absolute catching belief about themselves, their product, their service, their company. And this level of conviction and this level of belief is what it takes to be one of the top sales professionals.
A salesman is a man that can sell himself to himself. I love that so much.
A salesman is first off a man that can sell himself to himself. And you want to know the number one goal of a manager to building great sales teams?
What's that?
The number one goal of a manager is to sell salesmen on selling. Sounds very basic, but broken down to the ridiculous. When this becomes a game, you will never work another day in your life. And, you know, I've been able to acquire a skill set and work on a skill set to play a game for the last 17 years, which I refer to as a professional trick-or-treater.
I love it so much. And so you caught fire early on. Like when you were 18 years old, you hit that number one sales rep in the entire United States. We were probably actually competitors at that time. How old are you now?
34, brother, halfway to 68.
So I'm 37, right? And you know what? That was at 18 years old, though. I didn't start in door-to-door until 23. So I was 2 years behind you, it sounds like. And gotcha. So what's cool about that is we may have been selling at the same time, but I had a dealership for AT&T U-verse. And so we were slinging U-verse back then. Yep. And that was before the whole home DVR became commonplace across all, you know, cable offerings and internet offerings. So that's pretty cool there. And yeah. So what did it take for you to make that transition from, because I say it all the time, oftentimes the best selling rep in the company is not the best leader. I mean, it's like, I would say 90% of the time, there's that 10%, you know, that 10% is the ones that you pour into and you build up and you provide with an opportunity structure that makes sense. But for you, I guess, who did you have to become after you were already the top salesperson in order to be one of the top leaders and build one of the top teams?
Yeah, so I'll kind of give you a quick breakdown of my story. And the way I'll analogize it is going from a Jerry Rice to a Jerry Jones. You know, in 2008, I started in door-to-door sales at a company called 2020 Communications, selling TV, phone, and
Awesome.
2008, bro. 2008 was my first year in door-to-door sales. What was that?
Felix Wilcots. He would have been late around the time that you started.
Doesn't ring a bell. The guys that I knew there were Bill Rowland, rest in peace. Chris Menizzi. You know, I started in Boston. Okay. Guys like Joe, you might know a guy named Joe Thacker. He was one of the Jason Cox. Those guys are in roofing too. They're in Texas now. Okay. But these individuals really gave me the base of what I need as a sales professional. Mm-hmm. And in 2010, I wanted to become a professional snowboarder. I was snowboarding year round. I broke my collarbone with no health insurance in Argentina. I came back. My brother has a new BMW in the driveway. I'm like, dude, where the heck did you get this? Like I said, my family didn't come from any money. And then that's when I got into alarm systems in 2011. 2011, 12, and 13, I was the number one rep in the company and in the industry, even as a rookie salesman. And then I realized I'm the only one making money. I have to continue to rebuild my team every single year. Yeah. I have 30, 40 reps and I go down to 10, then I got to go up to 30. And I wanted to build something bigger than myself. I was traveling 3-4 months in a suitcase, apartment to apartment. And I made the decision after talking with Elon's cousins and flying up to San Mateo that I was going to move back to Massachusetts. And I started with 3 reps and built the sales team to over 1,500 people on the East Coast working for Solar City off 100% commission, another nasty word. We like to use fee for service. And that was when I said, hey, I'm going to go from the best sales rep to one of the best managers to build a team of over 1,000 people. I met Elon Musk and I sat with his cousin. I said, we're going to do 1,000 sales reps that do 100 installs each. And I shook his hand. And we were on our way to do that before they were like, hey, you know, Tesla acquired us. We were like, great, we're going to be Tesla. But then they're like, oh, you have to work in a Home Depot. There's no more door to door. And I'm like, all right, I'm out. And, you know, throughout this journey, or like Tom likes to define the word success as the continuous journey towards the achievements of predetermined worthwhile goals. Our life is like a stock, right? You get better or worse. I'm always an intrapreneur. I'm always building up the dream of other people. And yeah. Then, you know, I came down to do roofing actually to Florida, and mm-hmm. the company that I came to work for, like the guy has a Rob Peter to PayPal business where he basically just like pays you a bunch at the beginning, but then screws you in the end. Right. It's like borderline criminal. Like, I'm just going to say it. And
lasts for about 3 to 6 months, and then the reps get wise.
It's like, it's basically like that. Like that happened, which made me say, hey, you know what? I'm not building up somebody else's dream. I'm going to build up my own dream. And, you know, that's when I went from an intrapreneur to an entrepreneur, selling salesmen on selling through Knockstar University, which is my platform, you know, to train sales professionals. Then Tom approached me about being his successor, where then I acquired all of Tom Hopkins International. And then I started an app to help people, and then created products, you know, to be able to help salesmen. You know, one of the things that, like, I actually just created these, they're visual aids on how to be able to present for roofing, for solar, you know, and I utilize a lot of technique in here and a lot of analogies, you know, like, for example, like this slick is probably something solar sales reps have never seen. So you can see here, right? Reasons why you would never go solar, right? If somebody's like, oh, I'm not going solar, of course you wouldn't. Like, these are the reasons you would never do it. It's called reverse selling.
Yeah.
So, like, going back to what J. Douglas Edwards says, the reason why there is so much mediocrity in the field of sales is because most people aren't willing to actually pay the price of dedicated sacrifice, of effort, of time investment, you know, of everything that it takes, you know, to be the professional. And one of the cool things that we did with the university is we have accountability with it. The cool part about the accountability aspect is every single day, the manager will get an email saying who did the training, and they have a certification with quizzes on each one of the videos. So they'd watch a video, take a quiz, and we can track all of it, which is a really good platform to be able to help sales professionals, because everything they're doing off of the doors, or everything they're doing when they're not in the field, should be to get them into the groove when they're in the field.
So you covered a lot again, right? So your journey from top salesperson to having one of the top teams at Solar City. And then, you know, again, being an entrepreneur, building up someone else's business like that, you're subject to whatever they're doing, which, you know, they got acquired by Tesla. So you had to move to Florida to get into roofing. And from there was born Knockstar University, and then the opportunity with Tom, which is freaking awesome. I mean, one thing after another, it was basically like, you just had to keep getting up and fighting and fighting and fighting again. And so when it comes to the several teams that you have built now, I would imagine that you have a team at Knockstar, maybe you have people that you're managing with Tom Hopkins. Where do you find the biggest pivot point is for these salespeople coming in, where you take them from, you know, maybe never having sold before to now, you know, they're making six figures all of a sudden? I mean, that's a big part of the reward, but where do you find the biggest pivot point is to get them into that kind of income?
Yeah. So the first thing that I would say is, like, when it comes to recruiting, the most important words in recruiting is who do you know? And the same way that I have a presentation on the doors, I have a presentation when I'm going to meet somebody. But nobody wants to be recruited. Nobody wants to be managed. People want to be impressed. And to impress other people, you have to be impressive. So for me, I break it down to the six D's of being able to scale your business for them. For me, I don't delegate my responsibility or delegate my authority, right? Like, delegation is one of the big parts about managing other people, is not delegating my responsibility, but my authority. Hey, Billy, you've been crushing it. Dude, I want to make you the director of the next competition where you're going to keep the scoreboard going, because contact beats content. Contact beats content. So this formula is the formula that I will follow to be able to help a sales rep that comes in from day one to get to the point where they're making X amount of hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's called the six D's of scaling your business. And it starts with their desire. They have to have an ardent desire, an absolute burning desire, not why they're doing it, but who they're doing it for. A lot of people say, what's your why? I think that's a bad question. I think the question should be, who is your who? Who are you doing this for? You know, for me, it was always about my dad. I always wanted to make him proud. And I always felt like I had a chip on my shoulder. Like I was the underdog and I had to go out and prove it. I'm this kid from Boston, Massachusetts. 2011, I had to go up against all the Utah kids that were knocking for four years, you know, on their missions. And I'm like, dude, none of these guys are expecting the kid from Boston to win. But that desire will create the discipline. The discipline will allow you to demonstrate. Through demonstration, you're allowed to document. Documentation is your story. People want to be impressed. Through documentation, you duplicate. Through duplication, you disappear and you move through that level again. So it starts with having clarity, which creates the conviction, which creates the desire, which creates the discipline, which allows you to demonstrate, which allows you to document, which allows you to duplicate, which allows you to disappear. And that cycle or these formulas, for me, I had a 1.8 GPA in high school. So like a complicated way to learn doesn't help me. I need aha moments that just turn on light bulbs in my mind. And I think that's how I'm able to speak on the right frequency to actually help people and make an impact. That's the most important thing that I'm doing is impact, legacy, and filling the shoes for the greatest sales trainer that's ever lived. And if you guys don't know who Tom Hopkins is, I mean, you could literally Google who is the best sales trainer in the world or who is Tom Hopkins, and you can see really his accomplishments. And I owe a lot of my success to not only Tom Hopkins, but J. Douglas Edwards, who is literally, I think, the greatest sales trainer that's ever lived.
I love it, brother. There was a few things that you said there I want to point out. And the first one was, you know, nobody wants to be recruited. You know, they want to be part of something bigger, like an opportunity. So the same way you have a sales pitch at the door, you have a sales pitch when you're having that conversation with them and doing that presentation. And, you know, when I look at some of the foundational things, there's so much alignment there, right? We had an opportunity meeting, not a job interview, right?
Yep.
We absolutely showed them. So the way that we structured it, and tell me if you've ever done anything similar. So we had a comp plan on one side. And then this is what I do with my clients now, because the consultant I do is around building sales team. It's not sales training, right? It's around building sales teams, because so many people that aren't in our industry struggle with that, especially small business owners, entrepreneurs, and especially guys in the trades, right? They're tradesmen, you know what I mean? That have built amazing businesses, but want to scale. And they can't because they don't have the sales side of it, right? And so basically what I like to preach is you got the comp plan on one side, which satisfies their need to pay bills, right? And satisfies their need to maybe potentially make six figures. So that is displayed on that comp plan. And then on the backside, you've got an opportunity structure. And that opportunity structure walks them through. Very similar to another video that I saw you post, which was about the levels to the game. You know, and so you show them your levels within your company, right? And how they get to the next one and so on and so forth, so that they can see themselves, hey, if I hit all these marks and I do all these things, I could, you know, maybe get to regional director or maybe get to VP of sales or whatever the case is. That's all laid out in front of me in black and white, not just a pipe dream that, you know, he's saying over this call or this phone call. So did you deploy similar methods with that? It sounds like.
Yeah. You're speaking exactly. I think without vision, people will perish. And going back to those fundamentals, you have to communicate what the two biggest motivators are and the two biggest demotivators, right? This is what happens. What happens is you're striving for all these things you want to accomplish, make money, achievement, recognition, acceptance from others, self-acceptance. These are the motivators. But then there's these other things called demotivators, like self-doubt, you know, not believing in yourself. And what happens is so many people live in constant conflict. They're almost paralyzed because they're like, I want to do this. But then they're like, oh, I'm not good, right? Stop focusing on the things you do wrong and start focusing on the things that you do right. Like I said, a salesman is first off a man that can sell himself to himself. But that's what happens is so many sales professionals are constantly focused on what they do wrong. And that's not the way a salesman will sell themselves on themselves. They have a catching belief. And what I believe is the two greatest motivators of all is the need to be comfortable to reach that next level of comfort in your life, and the need to be challenged. These are the two greatest motivators of all. But the two greatest demotivators is boredom and burnout. You see, this is a formula. If I get way too challenged, I'm going to eventually get burnt out because the anxiety is more than the certainty. If I get way too comfortable, I'm eventually going to get bored. So it's like when you can understand the fundamentals and the concepts, it helps you with making decisions along the path on what you do and why you do it. And like you said, people want to be a part of something bigger than themselves. You know, culture is not the only thing. Culture is everything. Intentional communication. How is this person going to feel after I talk to them? You know, I always finish my conversations with, you know, the people that I serve within my companies with, awesome. Do you need anything from me? Those little lines at the end of conversations makes people, you know, want to be a part of things. And one of my best lines in sales is people don't buy because they understand. They buy because they feel understood. And it's the same way for your employees. You have to make them feel understood, make them feel special. And those are some of the small things when I look at a business. Trust, loyalty, longevity. Those are the three most important things that I look for. People don't quit companies, they quit leadership.
I love that one line though. People don't, say it one more time,
people don't buy because they understand what you're saying. They buy because they feel understood. So same with your vision, right? Like you want somebody to be a part of your vision to growing your company or great building a great sales team. You know, they need to feel understood. They need to feel like they're part of the team. And, you know, those are the small little fundamentals, you know, that I focused on whenever I was building sales teams or, you know, being a sales professional. And now I'm a selling sales trainer. That's the way I look at it. I look at myself like the world's number one selling sales trainer. And the reason that I say that is because I've not seen anybody else take the camera into the field and record the full sale from beginning to end. I have probably like 150 sales on camera now that I'll put on YouTube for free because it's a dying breed is sales trainers that did things 10 years ago that, you know, don't actually practice what they preach anymore. And that's what my competitive advantage is, which will allow me to get better. I'm constantly improving. The more that I watch myself on film, oh, I need to get rid of the word monthly payment. I got to use the word monthly amount. Small little things. It's just like polishing your watch, right? Oh, this side's great, but this side's not polished. There's a big difference between the number seven guy and the number one guy.
You know, something that you said hit really hard, which is they're a dying breed. And I think more than salespeople that are still doing it or sales trainers that still have the ability to do it or are still doing it, not relying on, you know, accolades from 10 years ago. It's the transparency piece, you know, integrity, you know, men with integrity is a dying breed. And so the fact that you can turn on the camera and record your whole sales pitch and still be out in the field and everything and say, hey, this is what I do every day, exactly what I'm teaching you is rare because so much of that hides behind a paywall. You know what I'm saying? And so that's one of the things I appreciate about your content as I was going through it. It's like, hey, he's putting it out there for you. Even if you don't sign up for Knockstar University, obviously it goes a lot deeper, the 2.0, the 3.0, the 4.0, but he's giving you enough to pull on that thread and get what you need in order to get to the next level. You know what I'm saying? And that to me, like for anybody that, you know, we would consider an influencer, somebody that's got a following, right? Is rare because they want to hide behind every paywall they can, whether it be $49 a month or $4,900 a month. And that's just, it's not something that I align with. And then it's not the way that I was taught either. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if you can help, help within reason. And then if they want to come back and say, hey, I need more and I want to pay you for it, then we move on from there.
So a lot of these guys might be like better than me at selling their sales training. But for me, like I'll never be synthetic about things. I'd rather just be real. And, you know, I realize the reason that I do what I do. And this is crazy way to think about it, but it's the way I think about it. Dude, I could get into a car after this podcast and I could get into a car accident and die. And I would be selfish if I didn't give away all my information. Like some say there are no secrets in sales. I completely disagree with that. And I think that I do what I do because I think of the thousands of salesmen that might have never made it because they didn't have the right training. And they decide to retreat back to their 9-to-5 because they didn't feel inspired or trained. Everybody that you find in your life either inspires you or drains you. So if I can inspire somebody, you know, or help them think differently, you know, which is kind of like my main tree trunk that I teach from, is helping them think differently. And then all the branches are how I help them think differently. That's why I do what I do, is to make an impact and to leave a legacy. Like, you know, what's crazy is there's a lot of people that haven't heard, like, if I said, do you know who Grant Cardone is? You're going to say, of course I know who Grant Cardone is because he's got a big presence on the internet. Tom Hopkins was the one that trained Grant, Tony Robbins, you know, all these guys. He was best friends with Zig Ziglar, but he's never had a huge online presence. But the true OGs that study sales will dive into that content and realize, wow, this is better than any of the stuff that's out today.
Well, and I love your taking what, you know, not enough people know about, and then you're transitioning into putting it out there. You know what I'm saying? And so one of the things you talked about is, you know, boredom was the killer of sales teams and obviously the killer of production, the killer of success, right? And so, you know, you now have a challenge in going from, you know, Knockstar University to Tom Hopkins Sales Academy and having both of those business coincide. And then you said, you know, now you're pushing that out into the world. How has that transition been for you, going from something that you know so well in door to door to now this is a universal, what seems like a universal sales academy?
So what I look at is the door to door solar industry is like this much, right? That's like how much we're talking about. And you know, you got all these people looking for solar sales training, right? This is the way that I'll kind of give you an analogy. When I started in sales in 2011 at a company, well, 2008 is when I started at 2020, but 2011 was Platinum Protection, where it was like my first like full summer program type deal. And the way you look at it is you see a mountain in front of you and you're like, wow, I wonder what it's like at the top of that mountain. And you climb to the mountain and you summit it and you look around and you see another mountain in the horizon. You're like, wow, that's a bigger summit. I wonder what it's like at the top of that mountain. And then you decide to climb that mountain and then you get to the top and then you see another one in your path and you're like, wow, that's even higher. I wonder what's at the top of that mountain. And for me, it was like, okay, I can make a huge impact on door-to-door solar, which I feel like I've climbed that mountain. But now with Tom Hopkins, I can make a difference with anybody, not just sales professionals. You could be an office worker and I could teach you about communication, persuasion, you know, trust and respect, aggressive, kind, assertive, nice, egotistically humble, how we can blend these opposites to be able to help people become the best version of themselves, because the harder we work on ourselves, the better we are at our job. We're in the people business. So with that, it gives me a bigger net to be able to help more people. And that's what really attracted me to that. You know, How to Master the Art of Selling has sold 3 million copies. And that hasn't been updated in 40 years. So my first book is going to be with Tom, How to Master the Art of Selling 2. So that's one of the big things that is coming up, a little sneak preview, is How to Master the Art of Selling 2. And my first book that I'm able to do with my mentor, and a sequel to a book that sold 3 million copies. So that's going to be one of the big ones that I've been working on now for about 6 months, that's in the works right now.
Dude, I love it. How to Master the Art of Selling 2. That's exciting. That's really exciting.
Really, that one really fires me up right there, because I know to be able to share my message and, you know, the things that God gave me, because I don't think it was by accident. You know, I don't think when I talk, it's all the reflex. It's what he's allowed me to put up into my brain. And, you know, I was recently, have you ever read or listened to the specific audio called Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill?
Yeah.
So that the audio is unbelievable, because it's I think there's a direct correlation with him saying, I occupy 96% of people's brains with blank space. And 95% of people being non-achievers and only 5% of people achieve the things they say they're going to achieve. I think it's the devil, dude. That's what I think. That my biggest competitor is the devil.
Yeah, 100%. And one of his biggest weapons is complacency. You know, the fact that we can get on Netflix right now and be mindlessly entertained for hours about other people that have done great and amazing things. And
you know what I would say to the devil? People need to stop checking their Facebook and start facing their checkbook.
I saw that on another podcast that you put out there, and that's money right there. That's money for sure. What are some other, now that we're going down that rabbit hole a little bit, and let me know if do you have a hard cutoff at 2 or are we good?
No, I'm pretty good, brother.
Okay. So what are some of those I think some of the audience will have fun with this. What your favorite one-liners outside of the ones you said already?
Bro, I have so many one-liners. Doug, the only objection that I face is trust. It's like having a cell phone with no service. All you can really do is play games. I'm not here to play games, so level with me. How much of what I said do you actually believe? Bottom line, you're going to fall into one or two categories. Category one, everything that I just explained to you makes complete and total sense. You know somebody else that's already gotten involved with this program. Or category two, it just sounds way too good to be true, and you're probably sitting there like, what's the catch? The catch is simple. Now I've got their full attention. Hey, I'm pretty much going to cut to the chase. I'm going to give you the short version. I don't know if you kind of know what happened. It is serious. We're not trying to calm down anybody. However, it is important. Typically when I hear an objection is a tactic used by the buyer to stall or prolong the decision. That's all it is a tactic. First time I hear an objection, I always say that's the thing. And I just keep moving. I don't even address it. If they say it a second or a third time, literally all I say is, yeah, that's the thing. We're moving. Oh yeah, that's the thing, sir. And then I just keep moving. And then if they bring it up a second or third time, Doug, you obviously have a reason for saying that. Would you mind sharing it with me? A lot of hypotheticals, a lot of analogies, you have a roof hat on right now. So I would say if I was in roofing, so hypothetically, sir, if I snap my fingers and you walked outside and you looked at your roof and it was completely replaced, you had a brand new roof, and you walked back inside and an hour later, somebody rang the doorbell and tried to convince you to rip off the new roof and go back to your old roof, what would you say? It's like these hypothetical questions to help them think differently is a lot of the ways that I communicate and persuade, and a lot of visual aids for roofing. Hey, these are the four main questions. Lingering questions, inadequate of explanation of benefits. Those are psychology of reasons why people say no, the same way that there's psychology of yes. Psychology of why somebody's going to tell me yes is, first off, it starts with you. You are the product and service. Your enthusiasm is 51% of the sale, and service. You, energy, service. You are the product and service. The energy, the enthusiasm is 51% of the process. And then I'm not selling anything. I'm there to serve. Psychology of yes, psychology of no. Lingering questions, inadequate explanation of benefits. There's a lot of psychology behind sales. And going back to what I said before, the more that you learn, the more that you realize you need to learn. Because it's like go gadget bank account. You learn something, you utilize it in the field, and then it's like, dude, I just made money off a skill set that I just acquired by training. Training is not supposed to be easy, but I think these are the ways that you get better, being blunt.
I couldn't agree more. Too many times especially early in my career, because I didn't find any education until 12 years in. So you can imagine building out the sales work that I built and not having any education behind it. I had this belief that if you wanted to learn something, you had to experience it and you had to only go through it yourself to get that conviction in order to execute it moving forward, And then I found education around 32 years old, and then it was like drinking from the fire hose, And now when I go to an event, a couple weeks ago, we went to Jeremy Miner and Ryan Stuman's event. And, the way that Jeremy Miner trains, it's all about NLP type stuff, But as he was training, I was just thinking this was born in door to door. And sure enough, his story started out in door to door, because it's a lot of the stuff we use at the door, mm-hmm. which is selling the way customers want to buy, slowing down, words per minute being low, these tonality and inflection and all that type of stuff is a lot of what he teaches. And so, but right away I was like, okay, that, because part of the sales program is the sales training. You got to set up the script for them. You got to overcome objections. And so I use all the basics, right? And I'm well-versed in the basics of door-to-door and well-versed in the basics of sales, and making sure that you're asking questions that assert education and bring them over to your side, right? But a lot of the stuff that he went through is the 2.0, 3.0, the 4.0. A lot of the stuff that you're going through is the 2.0, the 3.0, the 4.0 that salespeople need if they're going to excel in their position, you know? And that's education in general. I feel like we never stop learning, which is some of the things that you're pointing out as you go through all these things right now.
Yeah, and you hit some good points there. Like, one thing I always try to tell people is, like, if you sound like everybody else, people will tend not to listen to you. So you're exactly right. The voice inflection, the tonality, the body language, probably something you never heard before, is people don't react to the words that I say. They react to the range, the volume, the pace, and the diction, the way you pronunciate a word. Sometimes they don't even understand anything that I say on the door, but they're like, he sounds the part, looks the part. Okay, this makes sense. That makes sense. You know what? His certainty is going to allow me to go to the next step.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, one of my best sales lines is this. If I go through this process with you, Doug, you would do it. 1,000% you would do it. It's just the hardest part of my job is timing. I'm just looking for the time when we both have it. And we can take all the emotion out of this and see if it's a logical situation that can help you and your family. One thing I will challenge you to do, though, is to look for every reason it doesn't make sense. And if you can identify that, the idea is that everything would just stay the same. However, if we can only identify the reasons why it would make sense to move forward, the idea is that we would submit the applications today. Anchoring, right? That's a very big, important part. Intense statements. An intense statement, like 90% of salesmen probably don't even know what an intense statement is, but the intense statement is the most important part of closing the sale, which is, believe it or not, what you say at the beginning, not what you say at the end.
I won't talk about this stuff, bro.
This is like my sport, right? This is like my hobby. I get fired up talking about sales.
My favorite so far has been the, you're going to fall into one of two buckets. Everything I said makes sense and you're going to move forward with it. Or two, I'm missing something and basically you need to tell me what it is so that we can move forward, you know?
That one you got to stick. Bottom line, you fall into one or two categories. Category one, everything that I said makes complete and total sense. You know, somebody that's gotten involved with the program. Or category two, it just sounds way too good to be true. And you're probably sitting there like, what's the catch? The catch is simple. Now I've got their full attention and then I can isolate and put them in a corner like a boxer on a combination. One of my favorite one-liners, it's a pattern interrupt, is this one. In the middle of a conversation, right? If the sale isn't going the way that you want it to go and it starts to turn, you're just mid-sentence, you stop and you say this. Sir, may I just have your permission to be blunt with you? It's these small little pattern interrupts and one-liners that helps them think differently, because there's one technique that's more powerful than any technique in selling. And when you lose this, you lose the sale every single time, and that is control. I need to command and take the lead position. But I need to make you feel like you still have control and command. And I do that by asking a lot of questions.
You know where I learned that permission from was The Office.
I haven't seen that one.
This guy comes to the office to do diversity training and they're in the training room and Michael's just being obnoxious and interrupting and everything. And he looks at Michael and he says, may I have your permission to run this meeting? And Michael's like, well, yeah, of course. And then he sits down and just listens. So he took over the control of that meeting, which was fantastic. Awesome, brother. Well, this has been I definitely got to have you on a second time. I wish we had done this sooner because I do have an event coming up that I know you'd be fantastic at, but I'm going to put your name definitely on there for the speakers next year if you're available. And I appreciate you coming on the show and just laying it down, all the value after value. Let me ask you this. What's a way that we can support you right now? I've posted your Instagram, your YouTube, all that good stuff. What do you got going on right now that we can show some support?
Yeah, so I'm doing a big push on YouTube. We're on our way to 20,000 subscribers. I think we're just short of 19K. So definitely subscribe to the YouTube. Watch some videos. You know, I know that those videos will help you no matter what you do, even if you don't sell solar, even if you're in roofing or whatever industry that you're in. I have a lot of like secrets that I give away, and I think that there's a lot of secrets, and I think that somebody could have $0 in their bank account, go through every single one of my YouTube videos with a pen and a piece of paper, and they're going to probably get a lot more value than some of the others that, you know, pay for information. So like I said, my business is the gift to the, my gift to the world, and my whole goal of doing what I do is to constantly sell salesmen on selling. And I look at us like the underdogs. You know, people look at me like a door-to-door salesman. They say, get a real job. Well, I do have a real job. I'm a professional trick-or-treater, baby. And I have a lot of fun doing it. That's it. So, and I guess the last thing that I'll say to everybody is this. Maintaining anything in life will eventually become exhausting. Building is energizing. If you want to know the secret to building anything, it's having fun. If you're not having fun, it's not worth it. That's my last statement of the day. Gotta have fun with it.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. It's been a blast. I've had fun having you on the show. So I know I'm doing something right. I appreciate you.
All right. Take care.
All right, guys. Let's get building.